Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Helena B. in Little Compton, Rhode Island, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, May 16th, 2011. This is episode 141, and it's sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Good morning, Helena.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning, and it's weird to be talking to you live because we usually get to record it and take out all our goofs and gabs.
Yeah, well, our listeners are going to just have to suffer along with me today because there's going to be a lot of gabs and goofs.
Yes, it is nice to be able to edit shows, but we all have that luxury here on the morning show. We just have to chat and get away with whatever we say.
Okay.
That's how it works. We just both watched the shuttle launch. How cool was that?
I'm in tears. Like 2 seconds before Horses in the Morning starts, Glenn says, "Log on to Fox News because the Endeavor is going for its last launch." And I'm like, "Oh, all right, fine." Click, 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 click. And then I suddenly become completely entrenched in the launch. And now I'm crying. I have tears in my eyes.
Every time I see it, I get goosebumps. And, you know, we've been watching these shuttle launches for how long now? Years and years and years. But every time I see it, I still get the goosebumps. It's just so cool. It's cool.
It's very cool. It's very cool. We have a guest here. We have a special guest. That would be my 200-pound St. Bernard barking at somebody who's at the door who doesn't belong here.
That is a big dog
live
bark. That's
show.
A little
you
bigger.
The chaos never ends.
That's a little bigger than we hear usually with Jamie. Not usually that deep a bark with Jamie's dogs.
Yeah, Bella takes her job very seriously. She could launch her own shuttle, this dog.
She's about the size of one, too.
I keep trying to hit the mute button or throw something at her. But it just doesn't work.
See, now this is normally where Helena would say cut when we're recording our other shows.
Oh, and it figures, like, how often do I fill in on this show? And the one day I do, somebody comes to the door and my beast of a dog wants to take him out.
Of course, Helena is the co-host of the Tack and Have It radio show and the Stable Scoop radio show, which was the first show on the Horse Radio Network. And we appreciate you being here. Jamie will be back tomorrow, hopefully. Hopefully, if she gets back from Hawaii, she'll be back on the show tomorrow. I haven't heard a thing from her. Last we heard was that video she sent of her zip lining, but that's the last we've heard, so I don't know. I guess everything's still on track. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow morning
if
she shows up.
Even if it's not, I mean, it's better to be off track in Hawaii than on track in the continental U.S.
Stuck anywhere, that's a good place to be stuck. And we're hoping that she's had a good time. Well, let's go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show.
On today's show, Helena is here with us.
And Bella.
Oh, there's more. We're going to start out with
cat.
There is more, yes. There's more to life than Helena here with us. Bella is here, too. Now, we'll start out with a chat with the Pony Clubber, voted by the Hit'em staff, to have the best name ever, Ivy O'Shaughnessy. Is that not the best name ever? That's so
it
cool.
It is the coolest name. It's so pretty.
It is. I can't wait to meet her. She's getting busy getting ready for the big rallies that are taking place at the horse park this summer. The local Kentucky regions have their regional competitions there. But then at the end of the season, the national competition is there as well. So we'll have a great chat with her on the preparations going on there at the Pony Clubs. And being Monday and all, Helena and Glenn will be covering all the news stories from this past week. So you, the listening audience, will not lack for relevant topical tack room conversation later in the week.
She always does that, makes it all flowery and pretty, and then it comes to me next, and I'm just the opposite of flowery and pretty. Today's first Daily Winnie goes out to Brenda Corey Dunn, who, if you remember right, on Friday, Jennifer, we talked about an exercise when Frankie Lovato was on. We talked about an exercise where you sit against the wall. You act like you're sitting on a chair, but you're leaning against the wall. And I tried it in the break, and I beat Frankie. He did like 35 seconds, and I did like 45 seconds. Well, Brenda is a physical therapist, and she wrote on there that she was listening while at work that day, and she has her clients do that as an exercise. Well, I said, have you done it? And she hadn't tried it then. Then she went back and tried it, and she said she did 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And her other staff members did, the office administrator did 1:09, and the kinesiologist did, who is, by the way, 6 months pregnant, did 2 minutes. Now, I feel really embarrassed about that. But then she had to go on later in the day and post that her 12-year-old daughter and her 10-year-old son both did it, and they both did 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah,
well,
that's kind of
embarrassing. Well, what do you do, really, besides sit on the ball and talk?
See, that's the problem. I sit on the ball. But you think sitting on the ball, you know, sitting is on the ball is a little tougher than sitting on a chair. But I guess
you're
it's not
sitting on a ball. I don't want to hear it. You're sitting on a ball.
Well, I gotta say, Frankie, if you can only do 35 seconds, you were embarrassed on Friday. Wait till you read this. You're really going to be embarrassed because I think they knocked us both out there. We're both like old and lazy now. I'm feeling old and lazy. That's how I'm kind of feeling.
Well, I think I'm going to have to do this too as part of my physical therapy. So we'll see how many minutes I can last.
Yeah, you ain't doing it yet. Not with your knee all banged up like it is. You won't.
No,
be,
not
at.
Well, that's they're going to make me do that to get my knee all better. Ugh.
I think that's coming in a little while though. Here, I have a second one. Diane Brooks posted on her Facebook page this morning, and I'm going to read it. She says, I must be the horsey girl exception. You guys are always talking about what slobs and poor cooks horsewomen are. I don't know if I use the word slobs.
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay. I keep my car clean and neat. My house is clean as it can be with three dogs. I love to cook and do 100% of the cooking. My husband does nothing with respect to the horses, and I own and ride four horses. And I keep them at home and do all of the related chores. Am I the only one like this? Sounds like I am outnumbered. I'll be listening to your shows later on the podcast because I'm too busy to listen live. Ah. Well, Michelle wrote, I would say you are certainly the exception. So what we want to know from everybody listening today, is Diane the exception, or are there others of you out there that are also clean and tidy? So, Jennifer, if you could make that the question of the day and post up there, are there others out there like Diane? Because not everybody will see Diane's. If you post it, it'll go out to everybody's pages. So, yeah, let's make that the question of the day. Are there other horse women that are clean and tidy and do all the cooking and do everything with the horses, and the husband's just a lazy bum and does nothing? So we'll find out. You know, that is something that's been a recurring topic that we've talked about, Helena, for the last 2.5 years.
About messy horsewomen?
Yes, that has come up many, many times.
You've brought it up many, many times.
Well,
you don't like a mess, do you? You don't like a mess.
I have a perfect example of that from the weekend. So I get into Jennifer's car yesterday, and in Jennifer's car, this little tiny car, she has about the size of a roller skate. And she has the back seats kept down because that's the only way you can haul anything in this little tiny car. So I get in the car, and the entire back of the car is covered in hay. Everywhere.
You hate that.
I do hate that. I hate when the car has hay in it. So she had apparently gone and got a couple bales of hay, which, of course, it sticks to the carpet in the back of the car. And it's just covered in hay. It's a mess.
But it's Jennifer's car.
Yeah, but it's a mess. It's a complete disaster.
It's not a complete, it's only a mess if it's offensive to you. I have a Subaru. Okay, first of all, I want everybody to know that you can fit 5 50-pound bales in a Subaru with the seats down. Okay, that's number one. But number two is, everybody who gets into my car says, why is there hay all over it? Duh, because I fit 5 50-pound bales of hay in it. But that's what it's for. That's what a horse girl's car is for. It's for lugging around tack and hay and grain and stuff. Your car, horse husband's car, is for hauling around the wife or the girlfriend and yourself.
Yeah, well, we're going to finish this discussion in a minute because I have things to say about this. But first, we have somebody on the line that we have to congratulate, Helena. And that's Darlie Newman from Equitrekking was just nominated for her third Daytime Emmy Award. Yay! Congratulations, Darlie.
Thanks, guys. It you know what? It's still exciting. It's not getting old.
You're going to have to go out and buy another fancy dress and walk down another red carpet. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've heard about my competition, but it is fierce, guys. It is fierce.
No kidding,
Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen DeGeneres. Who's she? Nobody knows her. And then, you know, Teen Kids News. No, I never even heard of it. And then this little show that, you know, some Comedy Central guy does. You should be fine.
And I don't know if you saw the clip, but we were on the Colbert Report. Stephen Colbert, like, called us out this week, and he's like, you know, I'm nominated for a Daytime Emmy, but guess who my big competition is? So he did this whole thing on how he couldn't believe he was up against a horseback riding travel show.
It was kind of funny, actually. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Any press is good press, I guess, right?
Actually, it was good press. Our website, like, saw tons of hits, and he had our logo on screen, and he did a little clip from the show. So I was like, all right, buddy.
Taboosh, we'll take
it. You'll take that anyway. Now you have to
hope Ellen does the same thing. And a fourth Emmy nomination.
Yeah, so we're excited.
Do you think there's a chance that Ellen will have you on the show?
I don't know. I'm trying, honestly. I sent a pitch over to Colbert. I think I got a pitch over to his assistant. I challenged him to a horse race. I know that sounds crazy, but I was like, we are in an Emmy race, but you will probably win that. But if you race me on horseback, I have it covered. So
that's,
I've been tweeting, like, I've challenged him, and I don't know if he's picked up on this yet, because he has, like, what, 2 million followers? And I've probably, like, maybe dented it, maybe.
Well, you know, and if you get on Ellen, that's even bigger. I mean, you get on the Ellen show, you're going to see hits to your website go through the roof. And she likes horses, so you've got a shot with Ellen.
I know, and she and Portia, they're both big animal lovers, and they love horses. They love all animals, so I think that would be really a good fit. I think we should.
That would be
a good
fit.
I think that should happen.
They are. They're very animal friendly. And they rescued a horse. Portia rescued a thoroughbred, I think, some recently.
See, perfect. We'll see.
No,
if you get on the Ellen show, Darlie, if you get on the Ellen show, I'm going to have, like, you know how people have Oscar night parties? I'm going to have an Equitrekking on Ellen party.
That'll
I'm going to invite
awesome.
People over and make food so that we can sit and watch.
I'm going to email her this clip and tell her that the horse world really wants to see it.
Yes, we do. We really want to see it. We should start a campaign.
I'll start one this morning on Twitter.
Yeah, well, let's. She must have a Facebook page. We need to start a campaign on her Facebook page.
Let's do it.
I think we should do it. Everybody post, we want to see Darlie on Ellen. Oh, she only has 5 million followers on her Facebook page.
Oh, my goodness. I wonder how many of them like horses.
Now, tell us what you'd get nominated for this time.
Actually, well, this is what's so interesting. We're nominated, so the last couple of years we got nominated for photography and for outstanding series in general. This year we're nominated for writing, which I think makes it even harder because, I mean, Ellen DeGeneres' show is very well written, and so is, you know, Colbert and Stewart. They're comedy writers, so it's really an interesting category and an interesting competition we have there. But, you
Why
know,
you
our
think-
show is very well written, too, so...
Is it? Do they pick out a particular episode, or is it the show in general?
We actually get to pick the episode that we submit, and we submitted one of our Jordan episodes, where we go ride with the Bedouin in the Wadi Rum Desert, and I thought it was a great episode. It gives that insight into the Bedouin culture and Arabian horses, and so, yeah, so we'll see. You know, they're all so different. Like, how can you even compare them? But someone has to.
Someone has to, and someone did.
Yeah.
Now, you won in 2009, right? Wasn't it 2009 you won the Emmy?
We did. We won for photography that year, which, you know, that makes total sense to me as well because our show is really beautifully shot, and it's hard to film because we're on horseback. So I was really, really happy about that. And, yeah, it's nice to just be recognized again. I was like, third year in a row. That's three times a charm, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think so. So when do you go dress shopping? When are you going to start thinking about getting all spiffied up? Or do they assign you a designer?
Oh, I wish. No. I've actually gotten the same. It's hard to find a dress for women. I don't know if you guys have this problem over there. And Glenn, you don't. But maybe your wife makes you go out with her to shop. But it can be hard, no, but I think I have it down this year because the past 2 years I've been hitting all the stores in my area, so I know where to go now. So it'll be fun to find something new. I'm going to choose another color this year, a different color.
Now, and, you know, we have heard from other horse women that it's hard to find dresses for women with muscle that makes them look right.
Right.
You know, because horse women actually have muscle, you know.
Yes. Well, I'm pretty tall, too. I don't know if you guys know that. So I've actually been picking short dresses just because I want to be comfortable, too. And I don't feel like wearing a gown. A lot of people choose the gowns, but I've just been like, nah, I'm going to get something short and fun. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you must have been very excited, you and your hubby.
We were. We were like, oh, my gosh, I hope we get nominated again. And then it was so funny because I wasn't watching the Colbert Report, but people, like all my neighbors were emailing me because I guess I have a lot of neighbors who watch that show, and they were emailing, they're like, you're on the Colbert Report. And I was like, oh, that's so random, cool. So.
Well, I got to ask you because we have a question of the day that we're doing now. And
okay.
Seeing you're on here, we're going to embarrass you with the question of the day.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't think you're below answering questions of the day now that you're an Emmy nominated and winning and multiple that. She's not going to talk to us in another 2 weeks. You know that, don't you?
After June 17th,
she's never going to talk to us again because she'll win the Emmy. She'll beat out Ellen. Then she'll have to be on the Ellen show. We'll never hear.
Yes.
Hey, so now let me ask you, we have this thing where I'm always saying that horse women on average have very sloppy, messy cars, sloppy, messy houses, barns are immaculate, and they don't cook. And then we got a comment, we had somebody, Diane, on our Facebook page this morning says, Glenn's always saying blah, 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 and I'm very needy, very tidy, and I do all the cooking. So where do you fall in that mix? Now, we have to say that your husband is involved with the show, so he's very busy too. He's not so much a rider as you are, though, right?
No, he tries. He's learning. He's always learning, which we all are, but, you know, baby steps.
So we would qualify him as a horse husband. He's definitely a horse husband. Yeah,
definitely, okay. Definitely. Well, he's actually a much better cook than I am. I would never label myself as a cook, though I have started to try to do more with, you know, cooking. And I do enjoy it once in a while, but I'm definitely not a chef. That's not me. No. So you got me on that one. The messy car... You know, I don't like to drive. And when I use my car when I have to, and no, I don't care about it. Like, I don't care about the car.
Okay,
all
right, Helena,
yeah.
She's telling us her car's a disaster. That's what she's saying.
Well, that's true, and that's, not a disaster. She just doesn't care. So it's happily messy.
You know, the other day I was actually driving into a garage, and I got a little nick on the side of the car when I was pulling in. I, like, just bumped the column slightly, and I was like, oh, well, it's just a car. So, yeah, I think I'm fitting your description. I try to keep the house neat, but, you know, that's not my thing either. So, yeah, I got you guys there.
All
my
right.
Pack
you
is very nice.
My
saddle's green. Yeah, so
you
absolutely
fit my stereotype.
Her horse is clean.
Yes, your barn and tack are always clean.
Yeah.
And her Emmy's probably clean.
We like to keep things spotless if we can, but you know.
You polish the Emmy every once in a while just for the fun.
Yeah, I take the cat and I say, let's rub against it again. Get the dust off.
Well, thank you, darling. We appreciate you being on and joining us this morning. Congratulations again, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you before the 17th. It's June 17th, right?
Yep, and L.A. again, back on the West Coast, so.
I got a question for you. When you're nominated like that, do you have to pay for your own hotel room and all that stuff?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's
I know. Yeah.
They should put you.
You would think.
Do you get
you
yourself,
think,
do you get yourself a limousine, or are you riding in on horseback this year?
That would be actually a really good publicity stunt.
That would make a great episode. Oh, my gosh. That's for trekking down the red carpet. Darling, you need to ride down the red carpet.
I would get like a big Percheron or something just so I would really, really, really stand out.
Yeah, there you go.
Because just riding any other horse wouldn't make you stand out.
I know, right?
Oh, and you know what? You're going to be a big hit in your short skirt riding down the carpet.
Oh,
big hit.
I'll do side saddle. I'll go side saddle.
Oh, there you go. That's terrific. We know where you can get a side saddle.
Okay.
That would be
I'll
a
have
great
to put a little jump up on the way, and I'll do a little toot.
You could do, like, have you ever done, like, Hollywood, an equitrekking episode? Like, you could go down Hollywood Boulevard.
We have not done that, but I've thought about it because, you know, you can ride in the L.A. area, and I've not done it myself, but, like, Griffith Park has horseback riding. There's some ride where you ride to, you know, a Mexican restaurant and people have margaritas and then ride back. I'm not sure about that riding back part, but, you know. It's
oh, you know, it's on the right horse.
Yes.
I've heard many stories of those designated drivers.
Yes. Oh yes. That's been in the news recently.
Yeah, I think you should. I think, you know, you won't see Colbert doing that or Ellen.
Maybe he'll do it with me. Maybe that can be our race.
That would be awesome. I mean, it might not be any
all
material.
All three of you go riding
I'd
up.
Watch.
I think that'd be terrific.
That would be awesome. And,
and
yeah,
some of the kids
Ellen
from
too.
This new show.
Right, and Ellen. Might as well call up Dave Letterman while you're at it.
Yeah.
Thank you, darling. You have a good day.
Thanks, guys. It was great talking to you.
All right, bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Isn't that fun for her?
Oh, how much fun. I just love the fact that, like, a horse show is so mainstream.
I know. And she's actually gotten picked up in a bunch of new countries now, and she's doing very well with that show. So congratulations to her, husband, and everybody else involved in the Equitrekking show. It's equitrekking.com if you want to go to the website and check it out. Their schedule's on there, and they're on all the time. Because you know how PBS does. They keep rerunning things. So they're on all the time. Pretty cool, pretty cool. How's your knee doing, by the way? For those of you that don't listen to the Stable Scoop show or the Tack and Habit show, which you should, Helena took a little spill off her horse and is in a knee brace and pretty much out of commission for a while.
Yes, I'm out of commission. The knee gets a little bit better every day. I tore my ACL, which some of you may have heard of. That's a biggie. I also tore my MCL, which is a ligament that should heal on its own, but it means I'll be in a brace for, I have about 2.5 weeks left. And then they have to put me through that physical therapy we were talking about, where I'll probably be standing up against the wall for much less than 6 minutes. And after that, then I have to go have an operation, and they're going to rebuild my knee. They're going to make me bigger, stronger, and faster.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that you had to do an operation yet, too.
Yes, I have. It's going to be about 9 months before I can ride again. I know.
Wow.
That's a biggie.
That's a biggie.
It makes you want to throw up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
And it hurts.
Yeah,
let me
you
tell
know,
you, people.
We were talking about accidents last week because Jamie fell off there, and we were talking about it on the morning show. And you'd be surprised the number of people who commented on there that have been through the same thing you have. And I know you've gotten a couple of emails from listeners, too. So I guess, you know.
It is. And, you know, the ACL injury is more common in women because of our musculature. We tend to have pretty well-developed quads, especially riders. And so it tends to happen because we're so strong. The upper part of our legs are so strong that we exert a heck of a lot of force on the joints. That's also why we have a lot of knee problems in general, like arthritis and stuff like that, and why we wear through our cartilage faster than most people. We're tough girls, man.
Well, and I just remembered that we didn't get to do your daily Winnie. Do you have one today?
I have a daily Winnie. You know, I had one, and then I changed it, and then I changed it back, and then I changed it again. And so
Well, let's just see what comes out after this.
Okay. Am I ready now? Can I do my daily Winnie now?
Now you can do your daily Winnie.
I got to wait for all of Glenn's sound clips. I just have to tell you really quickly. He's like a sound clip, like, junkie. Everything has to have a sound clip. My daily Winnie is for the Animal Rescue League of Fall River. Recently, my family and I adopted a little orange kitty from this shelter. And honestly, my experience with them, I've had animals all my life, and I've adopted everything you could think of. I had such a nice experience with them, and they take such good care of the animals in the shelter. And they're not crazy about adopting their pets out. Like, some of them make you sign away your life, you know, and you have to do days worth of reference checks, and you have to make so much money a year. And these guys were really great. They were tidy, and they were professional, but they let us go home with one of the best little kitties ever. So I just
want to
shout out.
Oh, now you're
going
to have to post pictures. Going to have to post pictures.
Yes. Gino Tangerino. He's a pip, all right. I've never met a cat who's so into physical human affection. You know, he's only been here a week and a half, and he comes trotting out, and you say, Gino! And he comes trotting out from wherever he is with his little tail up, hooked on the end, and he just comes right to you like, okay, pick me up. And then you pick him up, and he like licks your nose, or he'll, like, you know, suck on your eyelid, or just put his chin on your shoulder.
And your 200-pound massive dog hasn't eaten him yet?
Loves him. They love each other. Love each
that
other.
That must be quite a thing.
And our exceptionally large Maine Coon, Jack, growled at him for the first week. But now he's starting to, you know, we slowly introduce them, but now everybody's starting to come around, and Gino is just, he's definitely a Gino Tangerino.
All right. Well, our first guest is, or second guest, I guess, today is on the line. We'll get to her in one moment, right after I talk to you about Omega Alpha. We're very excited to announce or to say that Omega Alpha is our sponsor for today, our title sponsor. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. Omega Alpha has over 24 products for your horse that combine the perfect marriage of nature and science. And I know that Jamie uses Omega Alpha products on a couple of her horses and absolutely loves the results. And you can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit them on the web at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca. I just recommend that you go there and you take a look around. You just drive around at all their various products, and they have them broken down by category, so you can see which products might fit whatever issues your horse is having. Or if you're just looking for something that's maintenance and preventative, the cool part is it's all natural, all herbs, and I think you're going to like what you see at omegaalpha.ca. Well, you want to introduce our guest here?
I do. I do. We have with us today Ivy O'Shaughnessy, and she's with the Mid-South Region's Pony Club. And she's got some big stuff to talk to us about. I think the Mega Rally, which she's currently preparing for. Now, Ivy is 12 years old, and I want to say a great big welcome to you, Ivy. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Ivy, you have the prettiest name ever.
Thank you.
Ever.
We do love your name, Ivy. It's very pretty. Are you named after someone in your family?
Nope, just me.
Just you. Well, that's perfect, and that's plenty. Now, tell us a little bit about what life is like in the Mid-South Pony Club, and we want to hear about your pony and what you've got coming up with this mega rally.
Well, I have got a pony named Wyatt, and me and him compete a lot. For the rally, we will be doing tetrathlon, which is running, swimming, shooting, and riding. And then we might help out a bit.
Wow, the tetrathlon. Say that again now. It's riding. What shooting? What do you shoot?
I'm not exactly sure what gun we shoot yet, but we shoot a slow fire about 12 rounds. And we just basically shoot this little target. And we take
shoot target, right. Okay. And then what were the other parts of the tetrathlon?
Running, swimming, and riding.
Wow. Now, can you do all these things very well?
Well, I am working on the moment, running and swimming, but I'm a pretty good rider.
But the swimming is just you, or is it you and your pony?
It's not me and my pony. It's just me. I have to swim about 50 yards.
Okay. That's better than swimming with your pony 50 yards.
Yeah. And then I have to run 500 meters.
500 meters. Okay. So now, what do you do physically to prepare for this? Do you, besides, you know, swimming at home? I mean, it's kind of hard, isn't it? Well, where are you exactly? What state do you live in?
I live in Kentucky. So I just have to go to a pool whenever I can. And I usually just jog down my driveway.
Okay. You must have a long driveway, yeah?
Yeah.
So tell us about your pony.
Wyatt is about 9, and he's a mix between a quarter horse and a halflinger. I have had him ever since I started riding.
Is he blonde? Is he, what color?
Huh?
What color?
He's a chestnut.
Oh, he's a chestnut. Okay, cool. And so you've had him since you started riding, so you two know each other very well, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been together forever.
Well, tell us about the Mid-South Pony Club Mega Rally, which happens here at the Kentucky Horse Park at the end of June, right?
Yeah. So Mega Rally is made up of the TET, the Show Jumping Rally, the D1 Rally, the D2 Rally, and then the C1 and Up Rally.
And this is all to qualify for nationals then, is that right?
Yeah, I won't be qualifying, but you can qualify in any.
Now, you're only 12 years old, you're a D3, so you got a long time to go yet in Pony Club.
Yep, and then I just turned 13 May 5th, so
happy birthday.
Thank you.
So are you excited to go to Rally this year? You know, rallies, for those that don't know about Pony Club, is a huge time for the kids. They all get together with friends they haven't seen in a long time. And a mega rally just means that all of the regions in the area come together and do it at one location, right?
Yeah. Like, this is my first year doing TET, so this is all new to me.
Yeah. So, and you know what? You just picked the hardest one. Do you play games, too?
Yeah, I play games whenever I can.
Yeah. Every pony clubber loves to play games. Isn't that everybody's favorite?
Yeah, it's really fun.
How tall is your pony?
White's the maximum size the pony can be.
He's 14'2"?
Yeah, he's got a horse-sized head. He's really big.
Yeah, cool.
Is he naughty or is he well-behaved?
Is he what?
Is he naughty or is he well behaved?
He's got his up and down days. Like, sometimes he can be a bit naughty.
That's because he's 14, too. If he was 14-3, he wouldn't be naughty.
You know how ponies are.
Huh?
I said, you know how ponies are.
Yeah. He's very fat.
Very fat?
Yeah.
Especially this year.
Is he on a diet?
A lot of grass for him to be eating. Yeah, does he wear a muzzle?
Yeah, he does, but lately we haven't been able to keep one off him. On him, like, the last one we put on him, he literally, like, shredded it to bits. Like, can't be called a muzzle anymore.
Ours does that,
see,
too.
That's the naughty. That's the 14-2 in him. Or the
halflinger.
Yeah. He's an escape artist.
This is great, and the website is MidSouthPonyClub.org. And now, tell us, do you when you go over to the Kentucky Horse Park, is this going to be your first time competing there?
No, it's not. I've competed a lot there. Like, I've done many other rallies, so I'm pretty used to it there now. Yeah.
Are you pretty used to it? And
yeah.
Is do you get to go to Rolex and watch Rolex every year?
Oh, yeah, I go there every year.
How cool is it that you're competing and might have your horse in the same stall as Mary King, who just won Rolex?
It's really exciting to know that. Like, we're walking there so far, but, well, Wyatt is a bit bigger, so we're still getting there.
Now, what do you hope to do? What do you hope to do in the future? Do you hope to be an eventer, or are you hoping to do something else?
I hope to be a eventer, and I also do vaulting, so maybe do, like, a bit more vaulting competitions. But I also like to be, like, a Rolex rider.
Okay, right. Cool.
See, we have
cool.
a new heroine that we can follow along from 13 up to, I know, we'll give her a couple of years to get there, you think, Glenn?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being on with us. I know you're at school, so we don't want to hold you up too long, although we probably wish we'd talk forever, but we know we have to let you get back to class. It's MidSouthPonyClub.org. Thank you very much, Ivy.
Thank you for having me.
All right,
and best
goodbye.
Of luck to you.
Well, Ivy has to get back to class. So.
Oh, what a sweetheart!
Yeah, and sounds like has a typical pony. It is amazing to watch these little ponies during rallies and when they're playing games, because they can be so naughty. The little tiny ones especially can be so naughty.
They can be naughty, but you know what's fun? I think learning about the personalities of these horses, they're so talented at what they do athletically. You know, the pony club mounts and even your Rolex horses, your four-star horses, but their personalities play such an important part in their performance as competitive animals that I just love to hear the backstory, you know, on what their personalities are like.
Right. Yeah, they are, and they're an interesting group sometimes. So in any case, I wanted to ask you, too, well, I wanted to tell you about something that happened to us yesterday. So, you know, you were, we were talking about cars there and how Darlie scratched her car. Well, yesterday we went out to get some dinner and we're on our way home, just two blocks from the house here, and we pull up to a stop sign or to a red light that's at the bottom of a hill. And then all of a sudden we hear, crash. And this guy rear-ended us. So I get out of the car and go back, and he's sitting in the car. Hey, first of all, this is a total beater. The car must be a 1980-something. And a guy gets out, and, you know, he's very obviously not from this country. I'll be as politically correct as I can be. And the first question I ask him is, do you have a license and insurance? And he says no. So, you know, you're going, geez, here we go. You know, no license, no insurance, obviously illegal, and obviously driving a beater that we determined a little bit later, I'll tell you about that part, as he almost hit us a second time.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
We, So we take a look at the car, and my car only has a little tiny dent in it, and we take a look around, make sure that it didn't bend anything or anything, and it didn't. It looked like it was fine. Now, he did say, I got to get to his credit, he said, you can call the police. Because I really thought as soon as that he was going to take off. I really did. He had no license, no insurance, you know?
Right.
And spoke very little English. So we said, okay, you know, there wasn't any damage, we'll let it go. And in Kentucky here, you actually are supposed to call the police for fender benders and stuff. Other states you're not supposed to. You're supposed to exchange insurance information. That's hard to do when they don't have insurance. So then take off. We head out from the stop sign. Well, he's still behind us. And Jennifer and I were talking going, you know, I don't think that car had any brakes because he couldn't stop coming down the hill. You heard him put on his brakes halfway down the hill. He just wasn't stopping. So I said, let's pull off up here because I knew we were coming to another red light at the bottom of another hill. And I said, let's make a left up here,
Glenn,
so that we're not in the same spot we were before. Well, Jennifer had to slow down to make the turn, and sure enough, he went by us, but he had the brakes on, and he wasn't stopping. So I got to thinking, Helena, there's a moral dilemma for you. Should we have called the police just to get him off the road? Because obviously, you know, forget about the no license, no insurance. His car didn't have freaking brakes.
Well, when did you realize that it was a brake problem? Was it after the second close call?
It was after we took off, and Jennifer, we started talking about the situation, and you know, then and after we got a better look at the car. You know, this car didn't have a lot of things. There were dents. I mean, it was an old beater. This was a beater.
I really think that car was really missing a few important organs. It was an organ donor car.
You know,
it had already donated a bunch.
Yeah.
In hindsight, because, like you guys got away lucky, but, you know, the next person might not have. So, I would think that to call, like, I mean, was he humble?
He was very,
sorry.
And to be honest, when I got out and I looked at him, I realized right away that, you know, he probably wasn't from here. And then I looked at the car and I really thought he was going to take off. Because the first thing I thought of is no insurance. It's a problem around here. So,
but how was his like demeanor? Did he seem?
He was very humble,
and
he kept saying, "You can call the police if you want." but then he was also trying to keep. He kept saying, "Well, there's really no damage to your car," and there really wasn't any damage to our car.
Right. So,
but
right.
By the way, a Toyota Matrix.
And I probably would have felt bad too. I probably would have said, "If there's no damage, you know, fine. What's my calling the police really going to do in the overall scheme of things?" But then, like you know, you get back in your car. this car is lacking some key safety items. I probably would have picked up the phone.
We pulled out and we get to the bottom of the first hill where he hit us, and we get to the we start going down the next hill, and I look in my rearview mirror and going, oh, my goodness, the same thing's happening again.
That's when we realize
that I don't think the brakes work in this thing. You can hear the engine revving behind us like he's downshifting it, trying to get it to slow down. And that's when we realized where the issue really lay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it was just a fender bender.
It was a paint scratcher. It didn't even qualify for fender bender.
Whose car were you in, Glenn's or yours, Jen?
Glenn.
And we were in our Toyota Matrix, and Jennifer was driving, and I thought it was interesting because I got out of the car to go talk to this. Well, I was talking to this guy for a while, and then I noticed Jennifer had never gotten out of the car. So I went up and said, do you want to come back and take a look? So she finally got out of the car, and I asked her later why she didn't get out of the car, and tell everybody your answer.
I said if there was going to be a cussing match, I didn't want to have to participate.
I don't blame you. You're not supposed to get out of the car. You're supposed to stay in the car until the police arrive.
Yeah, but I didn't want to. I really fully expected Glenn to, you know, because I let out a couple of expletives, and perhaps the real reason was I didn't want to participate in the cussing match because I let out a couple of expletives when he hit us.
So you didn't trust yourself.
I think that was really probably it.
Okay, that's noble of you. That's noble of you. I would have gotten out and cussed away.
And I got to tell you, what I thought was so funny about that is Jennifer does more cussing in situations like that than I do. So that's why I thought that was kind of ironic and funny.
Well, she knew herself well. She was. She made a good decision. She made a very good decision.
Now, if this was Jamie, the story would have went on for 10 more minutes. And
why?
It would have been 12 more bizarre things. Wouldn't have, Jennifer. That's the way it would have been if it was Jamie.
It would have been much funnier.
Yeah. The guy would have had a gun and robbed her, too. I mean, it would have been... the whole thing. The other thing I thought of, too, is a lot of times there's been situations that have been happening a lot around here is insurance scams where they do rear-end you and then they make this whole, you know, insurance scam deal out of it.
But that's where they get in front of you and then hit the brakes. They make you hit
that's
them.
That's true. That's true. Then you hit them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah,
well, this car looked at it like it had been a hit on all sides. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That's when I just get out of their way. When you see one of those coming, you just you take a detour and you go to like Applebee's for an hour. Here comes one. And there's probably when you see one, there's probably like four more behind it.
Well, let's take a break for our song. Come back. We're going to have to do our weekend roundup. It's all about the news that we found interesting from the weekend. But this song is brought to you by Pocket Stable. Pocket Stable is the iPhone app that you want that's been created for horse owners like you to keep all of your information like vaccines and worming and farrier visits and dental visits. You know, we had farrier out the other day. We have the dentist coming this week, and that'll all be put in the application so that you can keep track of when the next one's going to be. You know, Helena, I don't know if you're super organized that way. I know your car's a disaster, too. We haven't even talked about your car yet. But I don't know if you have trouble. Sometimes you go, okay, when was the farrier out last? Or you just can't quite remember when the dentist was out the last time or when your vaccines were done. Well, this is the easy way to do that. Rather than having to go dig through all your receipts and all your bills that are all stacked up, to find out when it was done last, you just put it in your iPhone. You can also track the weight of your horse and get reminders of all of those important updates that are coming up, too. You can find that at Pocket Stable in the App Store or on your iPhone or visit them at pocketstable.com. Well, I picked a song out for Helena today because I think you'll like this one. It's called A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson.
Caged in, need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass. Get me off the fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch sky. I've sat on these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. I need somewhere to run, somewhere to rock. A fresh pair of strong tall wind and a horse that can fly. giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning.
Well, that was A Horse That Can Fly by Templeton Thompson. You can buy all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I am Glenn the Geek here with Helena B. filling in for Jamie, who will be back tomorrow. This show is sponsored by Omega Alpha for all of your natural supplement needs at omegaalpha.ca. Well, congratulations, Helena. Isn't this your anniversary today? And we can't hear you. I don't know if you're on mute or...
I was on mute because my little orange kitty was attacking everything. I tell you, it's like chaos over here. It's like a freaking zoo. Yes, it's my 13th wedding anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yep.
13 years.
There's 13 years married. 23
wow.
years together.
Oh, really? So you guys were together 10 years.
Yeah. Yep.
He couldn't commit? Commitment was an issue for one of you? Or?
No, it wasn't commitment. It was we met when we first started college. So we both had to finish college and then get a job and then get established. I mean, it was long distance, so... One of us was going to have to move from Boston. It was either he was going to leave Boston and come to New York, or I was going to come to New York and leave Boston. So that created some logistical challenges that took us a few years to overcome.
Well, and, you know, that's it's better to wait than to jump into it. Look, you've been married 13 years now, have a beautiful child, apparently a new kitty, a big fat dog, a horse that tries to kill you on a regular basis. What more could you want?
A couple chickens, maybe. A few sheep. We want to get some chickens to eat the ticks because we're having some serious tick issues over here. So I thought, well, we'll just get some chickens. Why not add to the chaos that is my life? So we're looking at chickens next.
I heard ticks are really, really bad this year because of the wet spring that everybody's had.
Oh, they're awful. And I put the gooey stuff on my pets. And they still come in. The thing is I, like for the dog, I put the Advantix, and for the cat, I do Frontline for cats. But the problem is that all that does is keep the ticks from biting and feeding. They still get under their fur, which means they then bring the ticks into the house.
Yeah, that's true.
I will pull in ticks off of us.
They need to make Frontline for people.
Yeah.
I
know. Put it on the back
of our
neck.
Yeah, like perfume. Yeah. On your
That's great. Cause that's just what we need, more chemicals in our blood. Yeah.
A little behind your ear. I don't know. If it keeps the ticks off, I think I might be for it.
I know. We get grossed out on a regular basis. We're like, flush it down the toilet. I take joy in killing ticks. I have to say it. I can't kill pretty much. I mean, even spiders and worms. I love them all. But ticks, I can kill them and enjoy it. I'm sorry, God. I am. But that's just how it is.
So last week we had a great chat about your favorite way to get rid of a tick once he's latched on. What's your method?
Oh, I just pull it with my fingers.
Just rip it out.
I'm so good at it.
Yeah.
I do it. And, you know, you just, yeah, it's a technique. You get your fingers in and because I don't want to waste time and I don't want to lose it. Because
yeah.
You know how sometimes you feel it on your pet and you if you take your hand off of that spot, you'll totally not be able to find it 2 minutes later.
Well, especially when you have hairy pets because Gino is a long-haired kitty in addition to Jack, right?
No, Gino's short hair.
Oh, Gino's short hair. He looks awfully fluffy.
He's thick. He's thick. He's got a little, I think he might have a little weight problem.
Oh, that's not hair. That's Gino.
That's Gino, yeah. Like I said, he's blonde, but he's Italian. He must be Northern Italian. Or redhead. He's, you know, he's whatever, Irish-Italian.
He's Irish-Italian.
He's Irish Italian. Yeah, he's fluffy. But no, Jack is a long haired. St. Bernard, you know, we just can't catch a break over here. And now we have a raccoon family living under our shed.
Well, that's not always good.
Well, of course it's good when you have an 8-year-old and a flashlight. It's hours of entertainment. We laid it because the shed is just, it's just on like, stone, you know, big rocks, and there's no foundation. And so there's probably, I don't know, 10 inches under there. And so we lay down on the grass with our flashlight, and we can see the babies. And they make this cute little chirping sound. And the mama's in there. She's very comfortable. She doesn't seem at all intimidated by our presence. And there's plenty of room. There's space. Like, she can't, the way the ground is underneath the shed, she can't make it out from the back of the shed where she is with her babies to us without us being able to get out of the way in time. So we're viewing them from a safe distance. Yes, we're viewing them from a safe distance, but oh gosh, they are awfully cute, those little babies.
Has Mrs. Raccoon discovered your compost heap out behind the barn?
Mrs. Raccoon doesn't need to discover the compost heap because my husband's out there feeding her celery sticks. I'm like, I walk around the back because we have our log pile.
Can you see the sign that says, don't feed the wildlife?
You know, for such a bright guy, he's not so bright sometimes. But he's been putting out, like, we break down all of our trash into recyclables, into compost, because we compost our manure pile. So he takes the bucket of all our food compost, and he's putting it outside the shed.
Okay, so if he's going to feed Mrs. Raccoon and her family, you have to get Mrs. Raccoon and her family into a have-a-heart trap and take them to the vet and get them all rabies shots and get them all some flea stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the big problem with that, is that every raccoon we've ever met had rabies, which is why you have to be concerned about raccoons around your pets.
Yes, please. I mean, Bella's out, and she's pretty good. About the only thing she chases outside are rabbits.
What does she chase for? Four strides?
For four strides. She's all about the, you know, the launch. Jack is out all the time, and that's a risk that we take. I'm willing to take. He's just he needs to be an indoor outdoor kitty. And of course, I worry about cars. I worry about coyotes. I worry about raccoons. So my pets are vaccinated, but my great concern is, you know, the exposure of my kids because. The kids are all outside. So, you know, we're fully aware that the raccoons need to be on their way. But
Do they make an oral vaccine for rabies, do they?
They were testing something out on Cape Cod where they were having – they had a blossom of rabies cases. And I stopped following it, but I know that they were testing a different type of method to administer rabies vaccines out there, and I don't know what happened with it.
There you go.
I know it's not the greatest thing, but my goodness, for it's such a great learning opportunity. I know I'm going to get total flame mail.
Yeah, send a mail to Helena at horseradionetwork.com. I do want to tell you, you were talking about food and your husband. Well, a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, on Stable Scoop. We did a special nutrition episode where we talked about food and how much weight you had lost and everything. And you just, and I told you then that you motivated Jennifer and I to get started and
following. Wait a minute. You motivated Glenn.
To drag Jennifer along to get started, to do the whole weight loss thing, because we've all both gained a little weight. And I was happy to announce I weighed myself that day that we did that. And I hadn't weighed myself since then. So it's been 2 weeks, and we've been sort of watching what we're eating and doing the glass of water deal that you talked about on the show. And I got on the scale yesterday, and I've lost 6 pounds. So I was very happy with
six
that.
6 pounds in 2 weeks?
I lose weight very quickly. Yeah.
You're a witch.
Now,
witch, I hate us. That's
so
great.
My goal,
that's great.
I officially have a goal now. 20 more pounds is my goal. And that'll put me down to a weight that I like. So if I get 20 more pounds, I'll be really happy. And I figure if I do a pound or two a week, that'll be by the end of summer, I should be at my goal, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you'll be at your goal before then, because if you do lose weight that efficiently, you'll probably. I just would never thought that you needed to lose 20 pounds.
Oh, that would make me really stealth. Back down to really stealth weight.
Okay.
Up the girth.
Okay.
Yep. I'll be a chick magnet
now,
then.
Because you're not one now?
That's right. No, I'm not one now.
Right now he's a candy bar magnet.
A candy bar magnet, yeah. I'm a perky jerky magnet. Jen, now how do you feel about this whole thing? How's it working for you?
You know, I go along with whatever he's up to because he's the chef in the house, and it's more peaceful that way.
Okay.
I am much more prone to I'm fine with vegetables for dinner kind of stuff.
As someone else makes it?
As long as somebody else is cooking it. Yeah, I'm okay with it, but I am not someone who loses weight easily. My metabolism has a tendency to adapt to less calories.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that exercise is what takes it off of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Beaker's for.
Well, and I had a little chat with Beaker about it, and he's still not on board with it.
He's still not. He wants his donuts. He wants his daily donuts.
He wants his donuts, and he doesn't mind being a walking trail horse, really.
You could hand walk him.
Yeah, exactly. I was hand walking him all winter long, my gosh, because the weather was so bad. So I told him that I've been having a little email conversation with Jane, one of the Masters of Foxhounds over at Woodford, and that we're gearing up. We're going to try to go do a little cubbing or some roading this fall, and he's going,
oh my
God. I don't know.
he thinks that
gosh.
Sounds like work.
We're totally
really
getting you a helmet cam. We're getting you a hunt cam.
Oh,
there you
that'd
go.
Be fun.
That'd be great. That'd be
I
fun.
I cannot
we'll
wait
to
hear Jen's stories from the hunt. Do you think Beaker will hunt? I think he will.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
Think he will.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he will.
Yeah, he'll love it.
What's not to love about going straight with all your friends at breakneck speed?
Well, exactly.
And, you know, she actually took him through a stream the other day, and he went right through it. So
yeah, Beaker is famous for his water phobia.
Right.
You know, for him,
and he went through a
fashion.
Stream?
Yeah. Well, we went out to Masterson Station, and Beaker and I went along for moral support with Darcy, who has the barn where he lives. She wanted to go out and school her horse before the horse show. So we went out and we played cowboy and embarrassed all the dressage riders out there. And after we were finished, we went for a little hack around the park. And I had never ridden around the park before on a horse, so we're just walking along going, well, where do we go next? And we come to the bottom of the hill, and there is this stream. And it's about 5 foot wide. It's a proper little stream. And knowing how water phobic he was, I thought, well, here we go. You know, because when you give him a bath, the poor guy has a meltdown every time you give him a bath. It's just terrible. And so I just held the reins, just held the buckle, and just sat there and let him sniff, and he grazed a little bit. And lo and behold, 3 minutes later, he walked through, had a little sip on the way, and we were off.
Get out of here. That's all it took. No leg on, no nothing. You just let him go at his own pace.
I completely just sat there, and Darcy was behind me on her big, bad dressage horse who was going, I don't know about this. And I think what it was.
Well, that was my next question. Did he follow anybody over, or did he lead the way?
No, he went
over?
First, because he seems to prefer walking first because he has a real fast walk. And I think what it was is there were a little ego involved. We had the really big, fancy dressage
horse
standing there. Yeah, and little short, has to stay on a diet quarter horse Beaker is going, I'm not going to let this dressage horse show me up.
Isn't that funny? You know, Zeke is the same way. In he's so low man on the totem pole, and he's all crickety and crooked and broken and hobbly. But you make Pi challenge him in any way, and that little ego comes right out. He will limp away. He will race to win.
We will gallop sideways. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And think, you know, and that's good. So you make that ego work for you.
Yeah, he was very proud of himself. He got in there, had himself a nice sip of water, strolled back out the other side, proud as a peacock. Yeah, we went past the scary picnic pavilion, full of really loud kids having a birthday party.
Yeah.
Replete with balloons and noisemakers.
Wow. Quite the outing.
He was a star, and he ate almost all of Fancy Dressage Horse's hay, because Fancy Dressage Horses was busy being worried and he didn't want to eat any. Here, let me help you with that.
Beaker's going to scarf up food anytime he can. He's got that muzzle on, so he's going to scarf it up anytime. Hey, guys, it's time for the weekend roundup.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
And I have the first story here today, Helena, and it's a very important one that will interest all horse husbands everywhere. And that, well, let's just read the headline. Topless Eva Longoria mounts white horse for photo shoot. First of all, the editor had to read that a couple times, I guarantee you, and make sure that the wording was exactly correct, because you could have misconstrued that one very easily. But apparently, Eva Longoria was down in Miami for a holiday and was doing a photo, took a break to do a photo shoot and for Hout, is it Hout Living Magazine? And they had her laying backwards, upside down, sideways, sort of up backwards, on a white stallion topless. Every guy's dream.
Isn't that how everybody rides?
Every horse husband's dream right there. Eva Longoria topless on top of a horse. And apparently she was surrounded by polo players because they were also involved in the shoot. So I just want to find out how...
Too?
I want to find out how I can take a quick polo lesson and how I can be involved in the next photo shoot, because that'd be worth it.
I can tell you how you could be involved in the next polo shoot. I'll just give you a pitchfork. That's how you could be involved.
So apparently
honestly,
it caused quite a stir, and it's been topless polo, Jennifer says. That's even better. Eva Longoria playing topless polo. I love it.
Now that would be something. That would be something I could give her credit for. Ouch. In one word, ouch.
Ouch.
Ouch. All right. Well, hey, here's to you, Eva. You know,
hey, you know
whatever.
How school used to do skins and shirts? Well, there you go. There you go.
Again, anytime. Here's the optimist in me coming out. Anytime horses can go mainstream, I'm happy. Any press is good press.
Well, if this made the press, believe me, I saw it in about 50 places. It was very popular. Now, unfortunately, from the picture I see here, she had her arm covering appropriate places. So, I don't think these are going to be Playboy pictures.
Well, she's got a tiny little arm, so she must have tiny assets. She must not have much to cover if her forearm can cover it. So there, Eva.
Well, let's go from Eva Longoria to a donkey. There's a transition.
Yeah, well, that's more like it. Yeah, an Iraqi donkey named Smoke touches down in the U.S. Now, this is real news, people. I hadn't caught this little piece of news until today. There's a fellow named Smoke the Donkey, and he just completed his journey from Iraq to the United States. He landed at JFK International Airport in New York. And the SPCA was leading the effort to get this guy over here. I guess he's a Marine mascot, and they had to go through mountains of paperwork to get him out of Iraq, just to get from Iraq to Turkey, and then, of course, from Turkey he could come to the United States, and he has a new home in Omaha, Nebraska. I mean, what a cute – I just love donkeys anyway. I think they get a bad rap because they're not as, you know, regal as horses, but they are so – they're just so wonderful. And this guy was rescued a couple years ago, 2008, by a Marine Corps colonel named John Folsom and his unit at Camp – I'm totally going to butcher this – Camp Tecatum. And he was in pretty bad shape, as you might imagine, and these soldiers nursed him back to health. And, of course, he became their mascot and their friend. So Colonel Folsom has since retired, and when he came back to the U.S., he couldn't stop thinking about this donkey. So he made it his retired mission, to get in touch with the SPCA and help bring smoke to the United States. And what he's going to do, this is the best part about the whole story, is Smoke's going to be a therapy horse or a therapy donkey. And Colonel Folsom started an organization called Wounded Warriors Family Support. And Smoke is going to help these guys, these soldiers, rehab them and basically give back the way only a donkey could. I'm like crying. I'm tears.
I know. I think that's a great story. It is a great story. I
feel for these guys. Like it's you're over there, miles and miles and miles from home, in such a unique and stressful place, and the joy and the hope that an animal can give you. I love the fact that they didn't let that go. They took that and built something bigger from it.
Well, congratulations to Smoke and to everybody that was part of that mission. It took a lot of people and a lot of effort to get Smoke over here, and he is the cutest little great thing.
He is, and the organization is Wounded Warriors Family Support. So I bet if you Google them, you can find out a little bit more about what they're up to.
All right, and speaking of celebrities, this isn't another topless story, but it's sort of a story, and it really made headlines all over. I saw it in about 50 places today, and that was that Bruce Springsteen and his wife, Patty, made an appearance at the Windsor Horse Show. Apparently the Queen was there, too, to watch their daughter, Jessica, compete the other day, and the event was held at Windsor Castle, and she came in sixth in the jumping competition in front of the Queen. So, but the thing that I thought was so striking is how Bruce Springsteen didn't look like Bruce Springsteen. He was all
with a tie on
and a jacket. I didn't even recognize.
It looks like he even has a suit jacket on under there. Yeah,
I know.
Although
I was shocked.
His shirt looks a little wrinkly. That would be the Bruce you know and love.
Wait, were you shocked?
Yeah,
I haven't seen him in a while.
Well. He's got sunglasses on, but he actually looks pretty good. He doesn't look all old and decrepit and, you know, washed up like some other rockers we know.
Yes.
And
then,
you know, what parent doesn't look great next to their successful, happy child? I mean, Jessica's fabulous.
Yeah, she's beautiful. She is a beautiful girl. And she's doing very, very well in her riding career, for sure. So that was fun pictures to see, and again, made headlines all over the world. And I have another one here that I wanted to talk about that I think is very exciting because we've covered it extensively here on the show. For all of you that don't think you're going to be able to get to New York to see the play War Horse that we've been talking about a lot here, they announced over the weekend that War Horse is to launch a national tour. In 2012, the National Theater's production of War Horse, the epic War Horse drama, is, by the way, which was newly nominated for 5 Tony Awards, will hit the road next year, launching a national tour, and it's going to start in Los Angeles. Some of the other places are going to be Boise State University in Idaho. They are also going to be going to San Francisco, Dallas, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, East Lansing, Michigan, and several other places to be announced at a later date. So how cool is that, that those of you that can't get to New York might be able to see it coming to you?
That's pretty fabulous, although I think I might have to go to New York to see it.
I know. We ought to meet there because I really do want to see it. We'll have to drag Jennifer along kicking and screaming because she doesn't like New York. But we'll have to drag her along and make her go.
Okay. Well, she doesn't like New York because she hasn't been to New York with me yet.
Oh, see, that's true. See, that probably will solve the problem right there.
Oh, yeah. I can take her to all the special places.
And I also wanted to just say that in our thoughts and prayers are everybody that there's a lot of horses being affected right now. I don't know if you've heard over the weekend, Helena, that they're opening some of the spillways, basically going to flood half of Louisiana, intentionally trying to keep the water into farmlands and less populated areas and out of Baton Rouge and New Orleans, because they're afraid that if they didn't take some of the water out of the Mississippi upstream, that it was going to flood the larger cities downstream. But they are going to be flooding, they say, over 10,000 houses. And really, when you see the map of where they expect the water to go before it reaches the Gulf, it's going to be flooding, Jennifer, would you say, a quarter of the state from the map we saw last night? It's going to affect.
It's a lot
wow. of area. A lot of horses had to move out of there, out of the farms. So our thoughts are with everybody in Louisiana. I know that that our friend Michelle, who we talked to last week, is listening. And I know that, Michelle, I looked up where your farm is, and she is literally, she said she was 3/4 mile from the Mississippi. When I looked it up, she's not only 3/4 mile of Mississippi, it makes a turn, and she's like in the middle of the turn. Yeah, so we hope that that what they're doing, helps save, I guess, some of the larger cities and things, but it sure is going to affect a lot of the farmland there. And apparently all of the people that live in that basin are notified once a year by the Army Corps of Engineers that this is a possibility, that they're living in an area that could intentionally be flooded. And that's what they're doing right now. You know, another story, too, speaking of disasters, and this was a good story, hundreds of horses found alive after the tsunami in Japan have found a new home with a multimillionaire racehorse owner. His name is Katsumi Yoshida. And Mr. Yoshida has entered several horses in the Melbourne Cup and several of the other large races. Well, he has a 1,600-acre thoroughbred estate on another island more than a day's travel from the earthquake zone. Well, apparently he was responsible for going in, and he and his staff rescued about 200 horses that were just wild and took them to his estate after an 8-hour ferry trip it took to get there. But they're taking care of the horses. They're hoping to find the owners at some point, but they're afraid that some of the owners are not even around anymore. So good job to Katsumi for rescuing a bunch of horses over there in the tsunami zone in Japan.
I can't even begin to imagine what it would have taken to round up 200 stressed out horses and get them onto a ferry and keep them sane for 8 hours.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot involved in that mission. There definitely was. Yep. And, they're still, of course, it's been out of the news, but Japan's still dealing with the nuclear disaster, which hasn't gotten any better. Matter of fact, it's worse than they thought. So they're still dealing with that, as well as just, trying to get started on a rebuilding there in Japan. It's incredible the amount of effort and things that are needed to get that underway. I also wanted to announce that Riders for Helmets has announced the winners of all of the helmets they were giving away, all $6,500 worth, 36 different helmets, and the iPad 2. And you can find that at ridersforhelmets.com. If you registered to win, you can find out if you're a winner by going to ridersforhelmets.com, and they have a list of winners there, and you can go check it out and see if you were the winner of one of those really cool helmets and all the other prizes that they had as well. And I think we're going to end the news today with another loose horse story. We can't do a Monday news without a loose horse story. It's a tradition here, Helena. And this one actually is the first time we've had a horse escape from a racetrack in Canada. I think it's our first loose horse in Canada story, too. They escaped from the Red Shores Racetrack in Charlottetown at the Charlottetown Driving Park. Charlottetown officers on patrol noticed the horse loose at around 3 a.m. They followed the animal from Riverside Drive, where they were finally able to corral it in an area downtown by the Technology Center. They got a halter and escorted the horse back to its stable, so apparently the horse decided that it did like the city, unlike Jennifer, and wanted to go downtown. So,
yeah, but probably found a nice patch of grass in front of that Technology Center.
I got to say that the quote from the deputy chief was kind of an understatement. This is what he said. Well, it is concerning because people are not used to seeing horses that they don't expect when they are driving for these animals to be on the loose, and that these animals are handled every day, but they are easily spooked and could run out into traffic. Yeah, you could probably say people in downtown near the Technology Center aren't used to seeing loose horses. That's probably true. and it's a race
but he's
horse,
okay,
so.
But the horse is fine. Everything turned
apparently,
out
apparently, everybody is fine. And they did say that last year, though, four horses escaped from the historic racetrack. So maybe they ought to look into some of that tape fencing that we talked about on our show on Tack and Habit last week.
On Tack and Habit, yes.
So they need to look into some fencing there for sure. Well, that's all the news that we found. I want to just repeat, the Eva Longoria was naked on a white horse. Just wanted to repeat that for everybody
and I
want to
repeat
there.
That Smoke the Donkey is now in the U.S. And his boobs are better than Eva's boobs. Sorry. Right, he doesn't have boobs, but whatever. He's cuter.
He's cuter? He's cuter than Eva? Okay, you stick with that.
He's cuter.
I did have one announcement that I wanted to make for our friends over at EquestrianProfessional.com. They're doing a simulcast, a web media event tonight. And the web media event is happening at 8 o'clock Eastern time. You go to EquestrianProfessional.com to sign up for it, and it's free, and it's all about smart social media marketing for horse professionals. So you can attend by phone or computer, find out how to do your social media better if you're a horse professional. And she does a great job with these. So check it out, 8 p.m. tonight, EquestrianProfessional.com. And Jennifer wanted to add something here, I think.
Programming alert. Just heard back from Patty over at Mucho Macho Man Team Central.
Yay! Who is running in the
He's
the
running
Jennifer?
In the Preakness.
The Preakness?
Jack and Sis, half horse, half man with beer in hand. He strolls the infield best.
Yep, there we go.
Okay. Go ahead.
Patty will be so proud.
I got it in.
But just heard back from her. We're working out the down and dirty details. She's going to be on the show either Thursday or Friday of this week. So all you mucho macho fans, I know there's lots out there.
Mucho Macho Man's Patty's going to be on again, and he is running in the Preakness. This is exciting stuff. And there was an article the other day I saw yesterday that, you know, they're really expecting Mucho Macho Man to be the one that challenges in the Preakness. Preakness is a little shorter race, isn't it, Jennifer?
So and then the longest is the last one.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's terrific news. So I'm glad you were able to get her lined up. She's so much fun to talk to.
Yeah, can't wait.
And Alex Brown, who we had on a couple times talking about the Kentucky Derby, will be on with us Thursday because he's been out watching Animal Kingdom run every morning up there at the racetrack in Maryland. So he's been out watching him do his daily warm-ups, and he's going to give us a late report on Thursday about what's going on with Animal Kingdom, the winner of the Kentucky Derby, and how he is preparing for the Preakness. So we're going to have lots of racing news toward the end of the week. Well, Helena, this has been fun. Believe it or not, an hour and a half has gone already, and it's time for us to wrap up here. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Don't forget, Helena and I do two shows. The Stable Scoop Radio Show, that's the flagship show of the Horse Radio Network, and we have another fun show lined up this week. I talked a lot about the show we had last week because one of our listeners is on that show. You're going to want to check it out at stablescoop.com. And also the Tack and Habit Show, fun little show where we talk about product, and we'll be recording another one of those tomorrow. Helena, I figured out what product I'm doing for tomorrow, so I want to let you know that.
Okay.
So I'll be all set and ready to go.
Good. Well, I have no, you know me, I don't get my product until like 10:55 when we record at 11.
That's true. She always tells me when we're on the air, this is what I'm doing. And we do a lot of preparation for these shows, people.
Well, that's why they turn out just so professional. Now, if you missed the live show today, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, our affiliate website, or iTunes, so you never have to miss an episode. Horses in the Morning will be back Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern when Jamie returns to tell us all about her vacation. And I what do you think, Glenn? Did I get the closing right? Is it
yes,
goodbye,
you did.
Glenn?
You did good. Thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate you being here. And I know that you're not doing a whole lot of running around right now, so that's why I thought I'd probably be safe to get you on an extra show this week.
Yeah, no running around for me. Boo-hoo.
But I hear you're out doing the barn and everything now, so you're at least you're motivating a little. Are you still in crutches?
And no crutches. I have the brace, and I get to get out there. And my horses are getting groomed quite a bit, and so that's a good thing. You know, good things come out of this, so... My barnyard looks beautiful, and my horses look beautiful. Fat, but beautiful.
And we had Dr. Wendy last week on Stable Scoop Show. Highly recommend that Helena get a quarter horse and trade in the Arab standardbred saddlebred cross.
If anybody has a nice, quiet quarter horse that you want to sell or give away, just
let Helena
look me
know.
Up or send me an email, helena@horseradionetwork.com. Just make sure it's quiet.
And you want to take a look to listen to last week's Stable Scoop, too, because we talked about the traditional Chinese medicine, and we talked about the five elements, and Helena and I each learned which element we were. It was all very fascinating, interesting stuff. So tune in to Stable Scoop there. Jamie will be back tomorrow. For all you Jamie lovers out there, she will be back hopefully tomorrow at 9 a.m. If not, she's stuck somewhere in Hawaii, and I'm going to call her at 3 o'clock in the morning Hawaii time, and we're going to make her do the show. One way or the other, we're getting Jamie back tomorrow. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. Wear your helmets and be safe.